Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and our guest, Kat James. We were going to be talking about beauty today. She may have gotten stuck in a traffic jam in New York City. Whatever's happened, we're waiting for her to call into the studio. So while we're waiting, then I will be telling you some various points of information that I have had set up to share with you anyway. So until we hear from Kat one way or the other, we are going to move right ahead. By the way, telephone numbers you can call into, should you so desire, during this open mic time, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Napoleon Hill is a man that I have such a tremendous regard for, and he made a statement in his masterpiece. I consider it his masterpiece, The Law of Success. The power to think as you wish to think is the only power over which you have absolute control. Now stop and think about that for a minute. The power to think as you wish to think is the only power over which you have absolute control. I can remember when that concept was introduced to me. And I thought, well, that makes sense. But when you think about it, it's not always that easy, is it, to really control the thoughts that you have and to do a shift. And I can remember going into some various classes through the years and talking with different people and then watching my own mind patternings. Have you ever been aware of how you will have thoughts that just pop in? They're sort of like copper pennies. They're just abundant out there. And they'll just pop into your head and you'll go, where did that thing come from? Well, the brain is on automatic. And the mind just says, well, I'll throw a little bit of this out if you're not busy thinking about something else. And I'm going to put a little bit of this in, a little bit of that. And you end up getting a potpourri of thoughts that if you're not careful can really cause a lot of confusion and a lot of frustration. One of the biggest things that can affect you, and I recall this when I was, well, the first time when I was a kid, when I went up on a stage to sing. And I can remember how, all of these different statements that people had said to me. Well, if you get butterflies in your stomach, don't worry about it, just take a deep breath, that only means you're scared. Do you know, it took me 30 years before I realized I wasn't scared, not really. I was excited. That was adrenaline I was feeling. I was so excited that I could hardly wait. Well, my goodness, I wasted a lot of years in dealing with what I thought was fear. We as young people often will just swallow anything and everything that people tell us. Why? That's just the way it is. We don't have very much written on the slate of the mind when we're born, typically, but various things will bring in all kinds of attitudes and opinions and the this is the should do's, the could do's, or maybe it would have been better if this hadn't happened or that hadn't happened. It isn't until we take the positioning of saying, wait a minute, where are these thoughts coming from? Why is it that something is pushing our buttons? What is it that's causing an agitation? How is it that I feel numb at certain times when particular conditions evolve? Why do I feel inferior? What's wrong with my self-esteem? Why? Remember the terrible twos? My goodness, kids are so good at driving you nuts. They'll say, why's that? You give them an answer and then they'll say, why? Do you realize how many times they could ask you why, and then you're ready to just clobber them? You want to dip them in Kool-Aid and say, go out and take a trip somewhere. Don't bother me anymore. Because you reach a point where you really don't know that you have any answers. And I know with a lot of parents, I can remember doing it myself. Never mind. This is not an intellectual challenge. This is what you have to do. No whys, no questions. Just do it because I say so. Sound familiar? We all do that. Well, there comes a time, and there may be an appropriate moment for statements like that. But there comes a time when we reach adulthood where we have to take on that personal responsibility for ourselves. And we need to look at how we think, what we think, and even ask ourselves, why do I think that way? It's something I'm constantly challenging myself with. And that may sound a little strange. I know I've met so many people that say, oh my goodness, with all of your experience, you shouldn't have any problems. You should just go through life, you know, doing a little tap dance and going yahoo every 3 seconds. Well, I do have moments like that, but there are moments when I find old tapes can come in and can really take over the brain department. Before you know it, all of a sudden I can be in an attitude of, oh, this is the lousiest circumstance I've ever been in. I can give all kinds of excuses. And then I have to do a wake-up mental shift. And that is something that takes time to learn how to do. Why? Because you have to be consciously present with what you're thinking. You have to consciously pay attention to what other people are saying to you. It is very important that we recognize that how we think has a big impact on the results that we get. When I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself because I constantly have to remind myself of this on one level or another. In some areas of my life, I don't have to. But you know, it's amazing how that subconscious habit patterning of self-sabotage can come in and it can just blow you right out of the water. It's amazing. It can happen in a split second. So how do you handle that? What do you do? Well, you need to remember you're the boss. You may, let's say, falter in a situation, but then you have to just maybe do something. Get up, maybe go to a bathroom somewhere. Well, put yourself in a situation and say, wait a minute, right where I am in this moment, this is what I'm living. How am I going to feel? What am I going to do with my thinking that is definitely going to affect my attitudes and my action? Where am I going to put myself? So when you can take that positioning of authority, you have got it made. You've got it made. Because then you recognize that you are the person that is in charge of your own thinking. Now, you can't always control exterior circumstances. Life happens. But you can control your mind. And it is amazing how when you can do that, you're going to, regardless of whatever adversity you go through, regardless of whatever challenges may be in front of you, regardless of whatever old tapes might be playing in your head, you're going to be able to do that switch in your thinking that's going to empower you and give you control over the moment that you're in right now. It's so easy to get all tangled up, all confused, all wound up in the wrong space, in the wrong way, and then stay there. And then wonder why you're not happy with where you are. If you're going through certain health concerns, if you're going through financial challenges, appreciate your moment of where you are now. One of the things that I find that helps me a great deal doing a switch is starting to count the blessings that I have around me. And it's anything from having a hot cup of tea to whatever else I choose to observe. So it's the same thing with you. And I'd like for you to give yourself that power. He had a quote in his book that I just came across, and I really, really liked it. He said, some men die too soon from overeating, others die from strong drink, while still others just wither up and die because they have nothing else to do. Well, you can apply that to your mind as well. Napoleon Hill was really a very special man, in my mind's view, because he dedicated 20 years of his life to doing research about success. And in my mind's view, he is, again, the old granddaddy or great-great-great-great-granddaddy, depending on what generation you're in, of motivational speakers. He was one of the first, not the only one, but one of the first, that came out with information to empower people so that they would realize they don't have to be a victim of their circumstances. And I'll tell you, in watching the Olympics, as I've been doing these past few nights, sometimes I'm able to take an hour and watch it. I saw that demonstrated so many times. And out of the mouths of the athletes, so frequently, come the statement, here I am, I'm here, and yes, it was a tough race, or I didn't do this, or I didn't do that, but you know what, I'm going to be able to turn this around. And they didn't stay in a pity pot. What they did was say, these are the circumstances. I gave it the very best I have. Some of them had injuries. Some of them went through a real tough time. Maybe they had a touch of discomfort with the food that they were eating. Who knows? There's all kinds of things that can affect you, a gazillion and one. And yet, when you looked at the ones that really felt good about who they were. One, they were having a pretty good time at what they were doing. And two, they just said, everything I've got is going to go into this. They were focused. They were concentrated. And they did not feel like losers. And they shouldn't. Let's face it. If you get into the Olympics, you're already a champion. You're not going to be there unless you are. But how are they working with the circumstances? Many of them didn't win a medal. But what do? They said, well, we're getting ready to prepare for the next one. I remember an interview with one gentleman, I don't recall his name right now, but when he was being interviewed, it was stated that he had, in 1988, had an opportunity to win a medal, and he didn't make it. But his daughter has gone on to win the gold at the Olympics. It is just incredible, the stories that people will tell. You see, sometimes you may not get the gold at a specific event that maybe you thought was the end-all of end-all. But maybe you've become empowered in such a way that you're going to be able to make someone else or empower that person to get the gold in a certain way. And that so often is the case. I found that the lessons in life that we learn, depending on how we work with them, that is going to prove to have more value than you could ever imagine. Because you may be able to pass it on. It's amazing. Life is amazing. So as you go about your day and this weekend coming up, wherever you are, I just hope you'll take the time. If you find yourself switching into what you might consider a negative, pity pot, oh, woe is me, whatever description you want to use, attitude, just pretend you got a little light switch in your head. And you can flip that switch and make the change in the way you think so that your actions and your attitudes will absolutely shift, because that is, in truth, the one thing you do have absolute control over. And it's amazing when you take dominion over that how much richer your life can become. This is Donna Sebo. It looks like we're going to have an open mic hour. We've been waiting for Kat James, my guest. She might have gotten stuck in traffic on the East Coast, so let's just open up the phone lines, 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. And again, when you call in, if you would like to have me do an intuitive insight for you, all I need is your first name or initial. Of course, I'd love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, let me tell you what I see, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. I had a friend call me last night who is a foster home for kitties and mature cats. And I just think Anne is a doll. She has a house that is totally designed for cats. She has 70 cats, and it's all legal. And she has a meticulously clean place. But she said, I just love these little fur creatures. And one of my greatest joys is to be able to take care of them. And she's known throughout her community for her work with cats. And she said, it's such a joy to find them homes. It's absolutely wonderful. So I came across a story about cats. And when I was talking with her last night, she said, oh, boy, I just love to hear things about animals. So So she said, I bet you the people that love cats would like to hear it too. So I want to share with you a story by Marion Daining. Now, she and her husband Hap, they never liked cats, period. Didn't want anything to do with them. And she said, we've never intended to own one. We never, ever fed strays. We would not pet cats. We weren't cat people, period. Well, apparently there was a spring day. A cat with an attitude came around, and it was a little, well, sort of looked like a calico. Maybe more like a patchwork quilt patterning on her. And Marion was ready to just shoo her away, but she really looked like she was in bad shape. And she said, you know what? For some reason, I felt sorry for her. So I decided I was going to leave her some food. Well, guess what she did? She kept coming back for more. Is that a surprise? Not really. That's what cats do. Well, eventually, Marion started petting her. And she ended up giving her a name. Seems to me a relationship is developing here. The name of the cat was Patches. And there was another cat that showed up after she became friendly with Patches. This cat was all gray and had a white chest. Could there be another relationship developing here? Me think so, because this cat got a name also. The gray and white cat, Fluffy. Well, something else happened. Circumstances were changing. A baby kitten was born at midnight. And then two beautiful white Angora cats named Pete and Repeat came around. They don't like cats. Wrong. They ended up loving cats. Well, Marion became so fond of these little fur people, and her husband, he wasn't happy with this at all. He said, what are we running? A cat sanctuary? Marion just didn't have the heart to turn him away. She found she thoroughly enjoyed taking care of them. In fact, she began to be so concerned because as the weather started to get colder, she lived in Michigan. She said, my goodness, how are they going to make it? And she turned to her husband one day and she said, Hap, I'm really concerned. What are we going to do with these little critters? I know they have coats, but my goodness, our winters get so cold. Well, it was on a fall day. The temperatures had started to drop. They were driving home. And Marion was thinking about what she was going to do for the cats. Her cats. As you know by now, her heart had been completely stolen by these cats. And it was full up to the brim with affection for them. Now, when they pulled into their driveway, Marion happened to look ahead onto the porch, and she said, on the porch was the neatest cat house you could ever find. Guess who built it? Her husband! That's right, Hap built it. He even put beige carpet on it, covered the floor, it had a little porch in the front, wooden shingles on the roof. And she looked at him and she just grinned. She said, you know what? It's absolutely fabulous. Hey, I didn't think you liked the cats. And then he sort of grinned. He said, well, I think they sort of grown on me. Two people that never, ever thought they could have a passion for animals ended up having an abundance of them, even building a house for them. Love has a funny way of wiggling its way into your heart and into your mind. And, of course, it can't help but affect your spirit. You cannot love another living creature without being blessed by the experience yourself. Donna Sebo here. My guest, Cat James, apparently has not been able to make the interview today. Telephone lines are going to be opened up now. 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Alzheimer's is a condition that we hear more and more about. Science has yet really to figure out very much about it. They take a lot, make a lot of guesses. Even today, the truth is you don't know if someone has Alzheimer's until they have an autopsy done. They do know a few things, that there's a protein that creates a problem in the brain cells. But again, it's very, very difficult to discern certain things. They've entered into an area of research and study that is bringing some unique information to the forefront. And I came across some details regarding some of this new information. They're called Alzheimer's markers. And I have a picture of one of the markers in front of me. And actually, it almost looks like a magnificent piece of Chihuly glass. If ever you've seen Chihuly glass, you know those great big platters that he does with the wavy lines and the curly cues and all this beautiful form. Well, that's what the picture of this peptide looks like. It's just amazingly beautiful. Well, it's an A-beta peptide fibril. Now, they have found that they can see it, and how they were able to see it is with a transmission electron microscope. And it has given the most detailed look at this telltale sign. They had never been able to see this before. Now, again, they do not know how Alzheimer's progresses or what role exactly these fibrils play. They have to date found them in most Alzheimer's written brains, and they're considered diagnostic markers of the disease. Now, the picture that I have in front of me has highlights of red that just seem to glow. It's just, again, it reminds me just very much of Chihuly stained glass sculptures. Now, the A-beta peptide, they think, might give birth to Alzheimer's disease through mechanisms that they're trying to find out about. They just have no clue at this point. They said it could be that the fibrils are toxic outside the cells, and they, in turn, kill the neurons. Nicholas Grigoriev, head of the Brandis team that created this image, found this image, he said, they have found also small clumps of the peptide itself that could be to blame. He said, with the image that we have found through this transmission electron microscope, he said, we possibly will be able to discover what path this peptide is taking, helping us to understand the properties of this fibril and getting closer to curing the disease. There is so much we don't know. And I think that as we become more and more sophisticated and as more and more minds are working and researching and diligently developing the technologies that will enable us to discern this information, you do have to play a detective. It's not unlike, really, a doctor when he sees a patient for the first time. He has to be able to ask questions. If the doctor doesn't ask questions, he's just going to be making guesses, which most of the time he does anyhow. Because unless he does a real thorough questioning process, he's not going to be able to have enough information to work with. And let's face it, lots of times we as individuals don't want people to know about what we're thinking or maybe something we've been involved with or maybe we've been eating certain kinds of foods. And what you need to remember is whenever you go to see a physician, you should go prepared so that when you're talking with them, you're giving them as much data as you possibly can. You want to go in with a notebook. Now, it's not fun when you didn't do the effort, when you make the effort and do the work, I should say, and then the physician says, I'm not interested. Then you know you better get yourself another doctor, because a good physician is going to want to know as much information as possible. And little by little, they're coming along with research that is enabling them through just a little bit of blood. They're going to be able to diagnose so much. They are learning how to read information within our bodies much more effectively. And I just think it's great. I really think it's great. I think it's going to be great for everybody, newborns to someone that's 113 years old. It doesn't make any difference. We all can benefit from this. And it'll be cost-effective, and it'll be more efficient, and we'll be more aware of what we need to do for our bodies. You know, we're all different. We're all unique. But anyway, I wanted to share that with you. I've had so many friends and, oh my goodness, I was just talking to someone in the last 2 weeks. It's dealing with an issue with a husband who has been diagnosed. He's been in the military and he's been diagnosed with, they think, the beginning of Alzheimer's. They're seeing, they've done brain scans and they're seeing a deterioration that's affecting certain areas of the brain that's creating changes. They're assuming it's Alzheimer's, but they don't know for sure. But because of the technology they're able to employ, they know it is something that definitely is affecting the brain, and they're trying to see what they can do to perhaps prevent it from getting any worse. So there are those dedicated people out there, and every one of us on one level or another are going to be touched by this in some way, especially as people are getting older and we're living a lot longer. So it's a part of life. It's good to be informed. And by the way, if you have something in the way of health information or something special that you would like to share with me, send me an email. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And I will, when the time is appropriate for me to do so, I would be delighted, one, to get your material and then to be able to share it with my listeners on the air. Because I think that's what this show is all about, is helping you to be informed, helping you to know about what is available to you and the choices that you can have for yourself. After all, if you don't know, how are you going to know even sometimes the right questions to ask? You're not. This is Donna Sebo. My guest, Kat James, was not able to make the interview today, so phone lines are open, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, and we also have a direct line, 530-876-3222. Now, next week, we've got a terrific lineup. If you want to get some real good health information, especially regarding statins, you're going to want to listen to my guest on Monday. Dr. Dwayne Graveline is my guest. He is a former astronaut with NASA, and he is a practicing physician. He's also a researcher. We're going to be talking about Lipitor and other statin drugs. You're not going to want to miss this. Very good information. Mary Size is going to be my guest on Tuesday. We're going to be discussing the energy of belief, which is always powerful. Random acts of kindness by animals. If you are an animal lover, as I am, I know you will enjoy it. Stephanie Leland is going to be my guest. We've got all kinds of fun tales to tell. And on Thursday, we're going to be talking to Teresa Tapp, getting fit, looking fabulous, and doing it in an easy way. That's what it's all about. She'll be with us. She's one of my favorite people. And you must go to her website, ttap.com. It has got so much information. That's T-T-A-P-P. Also, on Friday of next week, we're going to be talking with Marie Jones, 2013. It's an ominous number for some people. I don't think it's ominous, but a lot of people do. Marie will tell us why, and it has a little bit to do with the Mayan calendar. So this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat today, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. We are going to be bringing out information also about my traveling next month. I'm going to be on the road. I'll be both in the San Francisco area as well as up in Alaska and who knows where else in between. So all of that is going to be coming out when my newsletter comes out for next month, but I'll also be making announcements in advance so that people will know. And if you wanted to be in touch with me whenever I travel like that, I try to be available also for private consultations with people as well. Donna Sebo here. We are taking a break. Kat James, again, my guest, will probably be rescheduling or something must have come up on the East Coast. So we will be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, You can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then I'll give you my intuitive perceptions, and after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. I don't know about how things are in your gardens, wherever you might be in the country. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we have some delightful creatures. Now, of course, I knew about these creatures in California, but we didn't have them anything like what we've got them in the Pacific Northwest. We have critters called snails and slugs. And anymore, we really want to be able to use things that are not going to be toxic. And because I have two little Scottish terriers, having lost a terrier years ago to toxic pesticides, it really, really bothered me a great deal. And so my husband and I try to utilize products, various things that we can work with in the garden that are going to be effective and not toxic to our animals. Well, I came across some information that I thought this is really a good thing to know about, and it's coffee. Yes, maybe you don't believe in it, but if you want, buy the cheapest stuff that you can possibly get. Go to the dollar store, whatever you need to do. But I found caffeine can repel or kill snails that might otherwise eat and ruin plants. Now, we all know that if you have a composter, which is one of the best things you can ever have in a backyard or in an apartment, if you can get small ones, you can sit out on a patio, or they don't have to take up a lot of space. But for your plants, it's just wonderful to be able to use tea bags, tea leaves, coffee, eggshells, banana peels, things like this. They're really, really good in the garden. But I had no idea that coffee was so effective. Now, it's environmentally acceptable. It's a natural compound. And there is a research biologist with the U.S. Pacific Basin Agricultural Research Center in Hilo, Hawaii, that says coffee has a wonderful potential as an alternative to the typical snail and slug-killing compounds. And what he did a number of caffeine studies with a research entomologist, John W. Armstrong, at the Hilo Center, and Earl Campbell, also of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Honolulu. Now, using coffee to deal with pests, that's been around for a long, long time. But these gentlemen apparently are the first to report that it's very good at really doing the job for pesky mollusks, such as Hawaii's orchid snail. I had no idea there was an orchid snail. Shows you how much education I have when it comes to horticulture. This is a little tiny snail, and it is such a common pest to orchids. It's very costly. It costs them, you know, all kinds of big dollars with the growth of the exotic tropical orchids. It's part of their food supply. So what they did, this is what they did. They had a greenhouse where they decided they were going to do some research in Hilo. And Mr. Hollingsworth applied a 2% solution of caffeine in water as a spray to the coconut husk chips material in which orchids are grown. Now, they have a name for this. It's called COIR, C-O-I-R, and it was infested with tiny snails. They purposefully allowed it to become infested. And what they found is that the caffeine spray killed about 95% of the snails. 95% of the snails. Now, they did another experiment, and when the growth medium was treated with 2% caffeine solution, it ended up with only 5 snails when it was checked 30 days after they first applied it. And that's in contrast to 35 snails they found in the same growth medium that had been treated with a standard dose of a common pesticide. So it's considered safe. It's not going to hurt your pets. It's not going to hurt anything. And it's going to keep the pests at bay. So you've got all kinds of critters that are going to be in your natural environment. Let's face it. They're just part of the life force that's out there. But if you're not careful, they will destroy it. And up here in the Northwest, we have banana slugs. We have all kinds of slugs. They're all different colors. I'll never forget the first time that I saw a banana slug. I never believed a slug could be so big. But they get that big. They are just huge. They're absolutely huge. But we have all kinds of species here. In fact, here in Washington, they even have a slug fest. Yuck. Haven't been to that one. That one doesn't interest me. Now, if you really want to have a good, healthy garden, you want to understand that your environment of your garden has to have a balance. In our garden, we have a lot of plants like rhodies and hydrangeas that love acidic soil. And so we have to be sure that we give that soil, because we are in an environment that was once a glacier path that has more rock than it does dirt. So we have to constantly be aware of feeding nutrients into the soil so the plants that we have will be healthy and will thrive and will have beautiful blossoms. So you need to have time. If you want to have a pest-free environment in your garden, you need to have enough time so you develop the habits of using environmentally friendly products so that your soil will have a chance to balance. Now, by the way, that is something I knew about to a degree because of a woman that I spoke with that had macadamia orchards in Hawaii. And she was converting the orchards into an organic orchard. And she said it was 5 years. She was given 5 years to be able to do this. And she said it takes that long before the breakdown of the soil and the natural fertilizers and components that they were using to keep everything in their acreage healthy. She said it takes that long to make everything turn around. But she said it was worth it because, one, she was getting the excited population that would buy her out of all of her macadamia nuts, especially the organic ones. She said, we put them up in the stands and they're gone instantaneously because they don't have any of the toxins in them. I don't know that the ones that were grown with pesticides had any toxins in it. I don't know. I can't evaluate that. But the organic people are really very conscious of that. So if this is what you want to do, you want to go into that modem of thinking and you want to be active with that, you need to think about what you use in the environment. And the health, obviously, of the soil is really the controlling factor when it comes to pests. Now, rock dust is very good to use. You can talk to your local nursery, and they'll give you information on that. And if you see snail's eggs, you need to remove them when you see them. And use earthworms as much as possible. Mulch regularly. Watch out how much water you use. And don't be afraid of predators, your birds, your lizards, you know, whatever creatures may come around that are natural bug eaters that like to go after all kinds of critters. Don't think that they're bad for you, your environment. They're not at all. And just try to avoid the commercial chemicals at all costs. And it's just something that you need to remember. If it's something you cannot use, if it's something that you cannot handle, think twice before you use it. I had someone give me a tip, I'm going to digress for a minute, about dogs. And this can even go for cats, but especially for dogs. You know how they'll have flea shampoos? This is the time of the year when the fleas are everywhere and they're into everything. And, oh, if you're not careful, depending on where you take your animals, you can end up coming home and have a house full of them within just a very short period of time. Well, a good way to keep your pets free from the discomfort, one, of fleas and flea bites, is when you bathe them, use vinegar. And you can use apple cider vinegar, you can use white vinegar. And I have done this, and I just did it because I thought it was a good way to make sure all the soap was out of the coat. And I have quite a large pitcher. And when I go to bathe my dogs, then I put like about a cup of vinegar in and fill the rest of this big pitcher with water. And then I just rinse them after I've bathed them and I've done the normal rinse. Then I just rinse them in the vinegar water. And by golly, their coats just shine. And I was just doing it instinctively, not because anybody told me to. And then I came across this information just a few days ago where they said if you have animals and you bathe them and if you use a vinegar rinse, the fleas cannot handle the vinegar. They really don't. And it's a good way to keep mites at bay, too, with animals' ears. If you just take and put some white vinegar on a piece of cotton and just gently swab the inside of the ear. Don't go down inside the ear, but just gently swab the inside of the ear. And, of course, it dries almost instantaneously, and it will bring a lot of comfort to the animals, especially during the summer. So those are just some tips. But I can tell you that getting pesticides out of the garden, if you do have animals, you do want to do that because it really will affect them. And they have found, apparently in research, and I can't give you an exact location on this, but they have found in research that when you use pesticides around the home quite a bit, it's not unusual for animals to get something like lymphoma. And that's what happened to one of our Scotties. And they'll pick up the toxic chemicals, they'll pick it up on their paws, they lick their paws, and if it's a cat, they will, you know, they're constantly grooming themselves, and those little tiny traces of chemical poisons will go into their system, and their system can't handle it, so they'll develop a disease. Well, the same thing happens with us. And that's why in today's world, people are becoming more conscientious about what they take, what am I putting in my body, they're starting to ask. What are the side effects? And usually when you read the side effects of most of the stuff, you go, good Lord, why am I going to put that in me? If those side effects are a potential, why isn't there an alternative? So I think that's good. I think it's good that we've become aware. I think it's good that we're beginning to ask questions, we're beginning to do research. It's forcing a lot of other people who are considered the professionals to do the same thing because they're seeing the effects that it's having on their own loved ones, as well as the patients that they treat. So remember, you have a voice. It's your own. But use it when you need to. It's a good thing to do. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call if you'd like to chat today, 877-8765-227, 888-815-9756. When we come back, I've got some information regarding sports technology. You may or may not know about some things I learned, some things I'm sure you've already heard about via watching the Olympic Games. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Join us on the People Speak Radio Show every Tuesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, for an hour of live interview and audience interaction with guests from the realms of science.
Of people always that go that extra step, go that extra mile to make a difference, and they're not often acknowledged, and I would like to be able to do that today. I would like to be able to acknowledge these people that decided they were going to do something for our soldiers overseas because they saw a need and they felt they could fill it in their own small way. One of the groups, there's actually a number of people that I have information on in front of me. Brittany and Robbie Burquist decided that as teenagers, they were wanting to help the soldiers over in Iraq. They especially were affected after watching a television program that was talking about a soldier that had an $8,000 telephone bill. Well, these two kids decided this wasn't right. He should not, as a soldier, have to have costs like that at all. That should not be necessary. So they decided they would try to collectively put their money together, and they had all of $14. Well, they talked to their friends, and their friends said, well, here, we'll give what we've got. They didn't have a whole bunch of money either. So they ended up starting a bank account with just $21 for a project that was to grow very, very rapidly. They talked to the manager of the bank about what they wanted to do to help the soldiers be able to not have to pay for the phone calls home. The manager of the bank was so impressed with these two kids, they were 13 and 14 years old respectively, he said, I'm going to give you $500. So now they had $521 in the bank account. So that inspired them so much, they said, we are going to see about being able to send $8,000 to that soldier that we watched on television so that his bill will be paid. But they wanted to go further than that. So this is what they decided they were going to do. They would collect cell phones, old cell phones that nobody wanted, load them with prepaid minutes, and send them to Iraq. But then they found out this great idea they had wasn't going to be accepted. Well, it was a breach of security. Then they said, okay. Their school was recycling old cell phones for cash to cover extras that the school needed. So they said, we could do the same thing. And we can use the money. They get $5 per phone. They would buy calling cards to send to the troops. Well, the word got out. There were so many people that left cell phones on their doorstep that their garage, picture this, their garage was filled with cell phones. Within a few months, they were able to send $25,000 worth of calling cards to the troops. Two teenage kids. This is what they did. Well, they said, this is incredible. Now, these two youngsters are now in their late teens, about 17 and 18. They have sent to more than 400,000 soldiers a total of more than 24 million free minutes. That is phenomenal. And they get as many as 100 thank you emails every day. And this is what some of the emails say. They say, thanks, calling home is a little bit of heaven. Another person said, hearing my son's voice is a treasure. Another one said, communicating with my loved ones is the only thing that keeps me sane around here. Now, they're still collecting old cell phones. There are 8,000 drop-off sites across the country. Now, this is how you find out where their site is, if it's in your community or not. You find one at www.cellphonesforsoldiers. Cell phones for soldiers. Their goal today is that no soldier ever has to pay to call home. It's amazing. Two wonderful, wonderful young people had had an idea, and look at where it took them. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. So I wanted to share that with you, and hats off to Brittany and Robbie. Job well done. You went the extra mile, and you had all kinds of wonderful support. Donna Sebo here, telephone number 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Well, if you're like me, whenever you can, you want to watch the Olympics because watching those talented people is an absolute joy. Here are some things you didn't know about sports technology, possibly. The engineers with the U.S. Olympic Committee, they're improving timing and measurement technology more and more with every single game. Light beams now are recording racers' times to within a thousandth of a second. Of course, if we watch any of those scores, that is pretty obvious. It's just amazing how they're able to do that today. Also, there is a tracking system, computerized tracking system, that is absolutely able to show via computer when somebody's playing tennis, whether the ball has hit the line or whether it is not. There is no guessing anymore. They are able to see it right then and there. And one of the things that I've noticed at the Olympics is that now they're allowing the judges to view films. They are able to get the information to them instantaneously on multiple views, and so consequently they can make more accurate assessments of what they are seeing. It's just incredible. Also, they have just done some amazing things in archery. Modern archery bows are made from aluminum, magnesium fiberglass, and Kevlar. They are so powerful, they go faster than 150 miles per hour, and the accuracy is amazing. All because of technology. And of course, I'm sure you've heard about the controversy regarding the swimsuits that the men and the women are wearing in today's Olympics. Speedo has introduced a new swimsuit this year, which they've adopted at the Olympics. It's called the LZR Racer, and it features ultrasonically bonded seams and water-repellent fabric to reduce drag. That has made a tremendous difference in the timing of the competitive swimmers. Also, hockey. The goalies that once were forced to wear leather padding that absorbed up to 7 pounds of perspiration during each game, they don't have that problem now because they've got lighter, less absorbent synthetic padding that was introduced in the late 1980s. Technology. It moves. It moves forward. Change moves forward, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. It is going to happen, again, because we've got so many people with the mind, the curiosity, and the willingness to explore and to challenge conventional thinking. It's a fascinating world we live in. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Your mind belongs to you, and what you do with it, hey, you're the boss. Enjoy your weekend. Have a good time wherever you are. Be safe. Drive carefully. Also, look forward to seeing you right here at bbsradio.com on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.